Welcome to episode 188 of the Atomic Powered Supercast with your hosts Andrew, David, and Jen. This week, we read Captain Britain in MI-13, Vampire State by Paul Cornell. And now, the cast begins.
Welcome to another British episode of the Atomic Pirate Supercast. My name is Andy, and I'm hanging out with David.
Hey.
Jen.
Hello.
I'm sorry, everyone. I have a little bit of a cold, so I sound stuffy. I don't know. Might bother you.
Might totally sound stuffy.
Figured I'd bring it up. Anyway, this week is episode 2 of our Dracula vs. Blade and Friends series, and we read Captain Britain and MI-13, Volume 3, Vampire State, collecting issues 10 to 15 and annual number 1, written by Paul Cornell. So, this comic, I was like, eh, alright, this is okay. It's a little confusing, there's a bunch of stuff going on. I'm like, Volume 3, so I don't know the backstory, I don't know what Britain's powers are or anything. And I was just kind of going along. And then I got to the full-page spread, and I asked myself, did Dracula just launch mutated vampires like missiles from his underground moon base?
He sure did.
Because, fuck yeah, comics. That is one of the most comic booky things I could ever think of. There is no other medium of entertainment where Dracula will launch mutated vampires from an underground moon missile base. I just, at that point, I was like, oh, I've been trying to think.
Yeah, did you forget that you're reading a comic book?
Well, I mean, our last series, we had comics for ladies, and we did all kinds of, like, feminist and gendered criticism and discussion and stuff, and I was like, okay, I need to, like, think for this. Not even a little bit.
We're doing a series right now about, that's centered around Blade, okay? Wesley Snipes.
Yeah,
I should have known. Versus Dracula. I mean, the fact that it's a blank versus blank arc is a... I don't even know what word to say. Like hoity-toity? Is that
yeah, that'll
yes,
work.
That's
I'm
a good term.
Hoity-toity.
We can't always be hoity-toity about the comics. Sometimes we have to do fun ones because, you know, at the end of the day, comics are supposed to be fun, I think. I mean, any form of entertainment is supposed to be fun on some level, right?
Dude, and this was like, after that, like, this was just one of the most stupid, insane, ridiculous, like, there's no other place that this kind of crap happens. That's why I love comics.
At first I thought you were saying that there's no other place that this happens except Britain.
This happens all the time in England, didn't you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they have Doctor Who, so... That's a pretty... It's not easy... I mean, the bar is pretty high, so... You could go pretty crazy in England without getting crazy like Doctor Who crazy.
Well, yeah, but they also had things like Avengers. Not like the Marvel Avengers, but like the weird guy in a bowler hat Avengers.
Besides! Oh, come on, that's classic stuff.
I don't know, I've seen like 2 episodes, and I thought it was dumb as hell.
Oh man, they had the Prisoner, that shit was cool.
See, and I don't know, I don't really laugh that much at Monty Python.
Well, the Prisoner's not put that out there. It's like,
there's the Monty Python show, and I start watching it, and I was like, yep, I am not British enough for this. Not even a little bit. Movies I'm down with, but...
You need to have a really, like, good sense of long-suffering absurdity.
Yeah,
like,
I think
it's the proper mix.
And I don't know. The joke just goes on forever. Like, the Silly Walks one, come on. It's funny for, like, 30 seconds.
I am disappointed.
Yeah, well, stay that way.
Well, anyways, this is not a podcast about Doctor Who and Monty Python, but, as the title indicates, this, you know, the topic of our podcast for tonight is Captain Britain and the MI-13, or just and MI-13. Yeah. So I'll fill in the blanks a little bit since you said you were confused, Andy.
Oh, thank you.
So, this comic spun out of, well, I don't know if it's spun out of, but this was, this comic started during the Secret Invasion storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And, so Captain Britain number one is a Secret Invasion crossover. And so what happened is, Captain Britain, or not Captain Britain, Pete Wisdom, who's like the MI-13 leader. And what's funny about this is he's a mutant, and we don't see him use his powers at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known.
He's a mutant?
Yes, Pete Wisdom is a mutant.
We saw him... Okay, go on, sorry.
And so he, like, he's the leader of MI-13, which is like the super-powered branch of British intelligence. Like, they deal with the superheroes. And he made a deal to release, like, all the British... So Britain's, like, the center of magic or something in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
And he makes a deal where all the bad, like, evil demons and spirits, like, magical creatures, could be free if they, like, help defeat the Skrulls in England. And so that's what happened. Basically. And then after that, there's a thing with... There's a little crossover with Blade where... And Jacqueline Falsworth, where they, like, I forget what happened in that story. But then Blade continues to hang out with them.
Okay. Because I was wondering why he was there.
Yeah, well, she's a vampire, as I think is pretty clear.
So she didn't become a vampire after Dracula abducted her?
No, she was a vampire before.
Okay. I wasn't sure on that point.
So she's a character called Spitfire. And so I think she had superhuman speed before.
Before becoming a vampire? Because her costume did look familiar to me.
Yeah. So she's like, I don't know if she is originally a World War II character, but she's associated with, like, the Invaders, which is like Namor, Captain America, the original Human Torch, Toro, Bucky. She's one of those characters.
Mm.
And so she... I don't remember how she became... Oh, okay. So she can, like... She gets superhuman powers from being bitten by a vampire and getting a blood transfusion from the original Human Torch, which doesn't make a lot of sense because he's an android. Well, he's like a synthetic comics. Human. But, you know, comics. And
yeah,
so
whatever.
She has, like, superhuman speed, plus she's got vampire stuff, but she's kind of like Blade, where she has, like, the good parts of being a vampire. Like Blade, you know, like, he can go out in the sun and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that.
Hmm. Okay. So she's a day walker.
Yeah. She walks really fast. Because she's a vampire. So, yeah, that's... And so her and Blade, first they fight because, you know, she's a vampire and he's Blade. But then they become, like, boyfriend-girlfriend. And they are still boyfriend-girlfriend at this point in comics because it comes up in Mighty Avengers. There's a part where he has to go to America to fight vampires or whatever, you know.
Yeah, he got to do Blade stuff.
Do Blade stuff. And she doesn't want him to go because she loves him.
Oh.
But,
oh.
Yeah. And so... That's kind of her background. The other character that I think is not really clear what her deal is Faiza.
Yeah, Muslim girl.
Yes, how very...
I'm sorry, that was like...
Correct of you.
No, that was like the most... She had two identifying things. The only thing she talked about in this... The only thing that was overt in this is, one, she's Muslim. Two, she feels shitty about her dad getting abducted. And that was like all that existed of her in this comic. Until like the second half of the last issue.
So they played up her religion a lot.
Well, see, it's funny that you say that because I was reading I was doing some extracurricular reading about this comic.
You mean,
and
like,
apparently
research?
They had like, yeah, some like for reals research.
What?
Apparently they had like Paul Cornell, the writer, like consulted with like,
real Muslims.
Real Muslim women, like British Muslim women, to try to like make her accurate.
Huh.
That's cool. You know, it was mostly, I think the weird part about it, and I know we get shot down in several places, but Dracula's obsession with her being Muslim, like, I know that could have been, like, a statement about how he's bigoted and the world has changed and he's a relic.
Well, and he said that he was a devout Christian before he became a vampire. Yeah.
And it seems like his thing is he just hates faith because faith is bad for vampires. But even Doom calls him racist, and that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
Well, it's I think it has something to do with Muslims and vampires. It's not clear. Like,
well, I don't know. Dracula mentioned shit about, like, the Crusade.
Well, no, she's making a crack because of Black Knight. Because Black Knight's, like...
Oh, that's guy. Okay, because all I ever heard him called was Dane.
Yeah.
Didn't know his actual hero name was Black Knight.
That's really... You know, I didn't really notice that, but yeah. His name is... He's Black Knight. So he was a Avenger, and now he's, like, a British superhero. He's actually American, I'm pretty sure.
Hmm.
But he's got, like... the ebony blade, so, you know.
Yeah, from the Aurora Monroe.
Well, he had it before, and then he had a fake one, and there was, like, a bad version of the Black Knight. It's all very complicated.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, there was, in the first couple issues, there was a bunch of complicated stuff like that. Like, a bunch of threads coming from different places.
So I think part of the... So this is... Maybe we should have done, like... an arc about this series, because I really like this series, but we picked it up at the end. There's only the three trades, and this is the third one. And, you know, like I said, I really enjoy this comic, but I feel bad for you guys, because there's, like, you know, there's stuff that doesn't make sense. So that's why I'm trying to,
don't feel bad, because those first couple issues, there was, like, stuff coming in from different places, and I was like, this is probably why I was off kilter in the beginning, because I was like, there's this thing with the blade, with the fake blade, and the faking out Dracula, and I was like, okay, I've got to, like, get my head in the game and keep track of all of this and see where the strings pull from. And I was like, that's why I was like, okay, this is actually more intense than I thought. And then I got to the two-page spread of Dracula launching vampires from his underground moon base, and I was like, oh, whatevs.
With his flying space boat.
With his, like, flying space corsair.
Yeah. So Faiza, her deal is she is a new character in this run. I think she appears in the first issue of the run, and what happens is she's like a combat nurse or something. She's like a EMT type of person.
Yeah, she has, like, a full page spread on her healing thing.
Yeah, so she's, like, trying to do doctory things. She doesn't have powers. She's, like, trying to just be a doctor, and Black Knight's nearby, and she gets shot with some kind of Skrull beam.
All right.
And it gives her powers.
Okay.
Comics.
So, yeah.
So she doesn't actually have healing powers. What she has is control over organic stuff.
Huh.
So she uses it for healing because it's within her abilities to do. Like, because she can control organic material, she can heal people. But there's, like, in one of the earlier issues, she, like, accidentally, like, takes a Skrull apart. Like, his body just falls apart.
Like Arm Fall Off Boy, but on accident?
No, like you know, like The Visible Man, where you can, like, see all the interior parts and stuff.
Oh, nice.
Like, he falls apart. Like, he comes apart. Like, the veins separate. Everything separates. Yeah. And then she becomes wielder of Excalibur. And so, yeah.
See, dude, the stuff I liked about her was, like, the being worthy of Excalibur and wanting to earn it, and then I really, really, really did like the moment when they had faked out Dracula, and in Dracula's dream she was a fucking badass, and you're like, oh, this is why you hate Muslims, because you fear them. Like, that's what it comes down to. You talk about the Crusade, and you were a Christian, and I don't know, maybe he was alive during the Crusade times, I don't know about all that, but, like, obviously, you fear
Dracula?
Her. Yeah. How old
Dude,
is
it's
Dracula?
Fucking Dracula.
I don't know.
He's Vlad the Impaler. When's Vlad the Impaler from?
Well, this guy says he's son of Dracula. He's not Vlad, he's Tepes, isn't he?
No, that is Vlad.
Oh, I don't know.
Vlad Tepes, that's his
Tepes
name.
Tepes means impaler.
Oh, I'm an idiot. Okay. Okay, well,
So, in the next comic we're going to read, Curse of the Mutants, that does have to do with the Dracula's son.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, also, I did like that it was like, yeah, he fears her.
Vlad Tepes was in the early 1400s, I think.
Okay.
So there were crusades going on around
okay.
there.
Okay. Yeah. So that explains part of it, because if he was a hardcore Christian and there were crusades, then it's like, yeah, you fear her because she's Muslim. And then, that was great. And then to see her be a badass afterwards, too, and come full circle and that stuff, like, cool. I actually got to like her, but it took a while, because the first, like, four issues of this, she's just like, I'm Muslim and my dad got abducted. Oh, no.
And she loves a man with a heart of stone.
Yeah. I'm just going to gloss over that.
Well, that's because, like, being the Black Knight, he has a stone heart. It's like a curse. You know, it's like a cursed sword type of thing.
Comics.
But, yeah.
That's what I put in the notes. This whole fucking thing is like, fuck yeah, comics. Just because comics. Why not?
Well, I forgot. I was just going to say something like, oh, yeah. So, like, she doesn't really appear that much after this series, which is kind of sad because I think she's a cool character.
Yeah, I like her.
But so I'm kind of sad that she doesn't really appear later. Well, so I looked her up on Wikipedia too. Apparently, she's in Age of Ultron. She appears she in the Age of Ultron crossover, but I must not have read that part of it.
She might appear in it like in Infinite Crisis. Half of those shitty Teen Titans appeared while one guy was getting his arm ripped off.
Well, it says during the Marvel's Age of Ultron crossover, Faiza Hussein briefly adopts the mantle of Captain Britain from Brian Braddock in case he would die battling Ultron.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah, that is cool.
But I don't remember. I must not have read that. But I feel like she should be. I feel like there should be an Excalibur comic again, or maybe an MI-13 comic, because I think these characters are pretty freaking cool. But they don't. They haven't, which makes me sad.
And I gotta say, the person who I did not expect to grow on me the most, I didn't expect, because the first four issues, I was like, okay, Muslim girl's talking again, I can tune out.
Aw, that's really sad.
It is, yeah. It is, because she was bland until, like, at the end, they were like, oh, let's focus on this character, because there's something we had in mind, and we haven't been doing it the whole time, so let's do it now, you know? And when they did focus on her and develop her, she was great. And she grew to be somebody that by the end, I was surprised I liked her so much. The other one that I was surprised how much I liked was Wisdom. Because in so many of these Marvel teams, like, the way that they make the Marvel team dynamic more real is to make the leader shitty. But, like, Wisdom has his crap together. It's really, really refreshing to see. Like, he's going around, shouting out the orders. He's got a plan. Like, it's nice to see a leader in the Marvel world who knows what he's doing and has the support of his team. Like, that's awesome. Because he doesn't fall to the leader problem, right? Like, hardly ever is the leader of the team the guy that's the reader's favorite. And I feel like he doesn't follow that for me.
Yeah, he's like, so he's a mutant, right? But he's basically like a spy. Like, he's for reals a spy. That was his job. And his mutant powers, he can, like, shoot energy out of his fingers. Not like Jubilee can. Like, they call it, in the comics, they're referred to as hot knives. They're like blades of energy kind of thing. He's a cool character. I think he's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like, I don't know, you watch Ninja Turtles as a kid. And Leonardo is lame as hell, right? And then, like, you read X-Men. Who's the worst X-Man?
Scott Summers.
Fucking Cyclops. Like, always the hero is the worst. And I feel like in this team, Wisdom's one of my favorites, because not only is he badass, but he's badass enough, he's like, I'm just going to leave this team and never use my powers once while my country's getting invaded, because I don't need to. I can handle this without him. Well, like, he's badass and kind of cool, and I really like the way that at the end he gets the girl that he scared the crap out of in the beginning.
Does he get her, though? Because I feel like, you know, he offers the toast and she looks like, whoa, buddy, what the fuck?
Yeah,
and
no,
then
it's still
that
creepy.
Final panel, she's backing off. I'm like, maybe this was not good timing, Pete Wisdom. She's still grieving.
But well, and her friend was like,
dead in
murdered.
Yeah, and he's a little bit crazy, like, are you ready for some revenge?
Like, I was reading
it's like, bro.
My wife was sitting next to me and she was like, is that half of a corpse? And I was like, yep. So yeah.
But I don't know, I like the way that he just had all of his shit together, and it's so rare to find that in comics these days, because that's the way that you make comics gritty or real, is by making the leader shitty.
Like, kind of slightly inept, right?
But yes, then comes
through at the moment, the right moment.
Yeah, slightly inept, like, can't pull his own weight, or is douchey, or is a jack-off, or I don't know, like...
Yeah, and Pete is, like, on top of his game the entire time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he makes Dracula look so lame.
Yeah, he does.
Like, Dracula wasn't just a mediocre villain. He was just... He was epic fail villain. He was the lamest.
He did. It was a decent plan. But, like, really, why do you... I don't understand why he even needed to do this. You have, like, the whole moon all to yourself.
Well, probably the Inhumans were living on the moon, too, and, you know.
Yeah. Well,
no, I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Then say, I get half the moon and you get half the moon. That's still, like, the entire United States worth of territory. It's not like they need water.
I don't know. Maybe they wanted England because it's cloudy all the time. You know, vampires.
I think they say something in there about how it's their rightful home, and there's a thing in there about magic and how it's the source of magic, and because they're learning to incorporate. Like, there was some bullshit reason why. But really, I was sitting there the whole thing like, you have half the moon with this, like, a sick moon base.
Yeah, they have straight up have a castle on the moon.
Yeah, it's sick. I wouldn't leave.
He's Dracula and he's stupid.
When everybody else gets on the ships to invade Britain, I'm like, you guys go ahead, I'll mine the fort. My castle now. I'm a moon base going on. I wonder if any of them did try to do that. That would have been great. No, because they were all subdued by Dracula's will, that's right.
Yeah. And then they ran away.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, so we talked about characters a bit. What do you guys think of Captain Britain?
He's pretty cool. I feel like we could have gotten more development from him. And I think it's because we're coming in near the end of this run,
yeah.
So he's already been developed. But in this trade, I don't know, like, they didn't feature him so much, but what we did see, I thought he was a pretty solid character.
I feel like him reuniting with Gloriana was supposed to be this huge thing. But I had no context.
So. Yeah, even when I was reading this comic the first time, I didn't have context of what that had to do, like where she, her deal was, like why it was important that she came back. So this is actually the first time she's ever referred to as Gloriana. If you know, like, the Excalibur comic from back in the day, she usually went by Megan. She's like got a green suit and. Well, I mean, if you read the annual,
they call her that a couple times in this too. They call her Megan.
Yeah, that's like her that's her name.
Yeah,
and then she like never.
Gloriana's like her cool hero name.
Well, that's the name she got from
the demons in hell.
Demons in hell, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I thought Captain Britain was kind of neat. I really thought it was like a cool idea or a dynamic that his strength and power level is related to his confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's kind of like. That's kind of what Green Lanterns do, but in a different sort of way. I don't know. It was a neat dynamic that made him vulnerable, even though he's practically invulnerable.
That's the same kind of deal with Gladiator from the Shi'ar. Like, he literally has the same type of deal with, like, his confidence and stuff.
Hmm.
Not that that has anything to do with it. I just like.
So what did they kept saying? Like, he was a machine of Merlin. I don't know.
So I think he died, and then Merlin brought. So there's this thing called the Captain Britain Corps, which is like Captain Britain's from the multiverse.
Okay.
And then I think somehow they die, and then what's his name puts them back together. Like he takes pieces of them. Merlin takes pieces of them, and then puts Brian Braddock back together.
Oh, okay. Okay, I see. Because I really didn't. I mean, David, you're in the same boat with me. I love all that Arthurian shit.
Yeah, and it has to do with that. I mean, it has.
And I think it's like, cool.
Like he has to do. So his powers are based on magic. Like he's like a magical character, but he's not like he doesn't have magic powers, but he's created from magic. Like, I think he can, like, see spells and stuff, like the part where the vampire missile hits the car.
Kind of like Shazam, right?
Yeah, kind of like Shazam, like, where he... I mean, Shazam's basically Superman, except he's from magic instead
of... Yeah, part of a magic space. Instead of space. comics!
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm not really sure like what the deal is with the Captain Britain Corps or how he got put back together. I should probably, I don't know. Captain Britain's one of those characters where I think he seems really cool to me, but I don't really know that much about him, and that's part of the reason why I picked this comic up when it was coming out. Like I thought, oh, this is my chance to read some Captain Britain, and I have not gone back and read more of it, and that's something I would definitely like to do, especially like I mean. He was created by Chris Claremont, who is like the king of the X-Men writers.
Yeah. And, I think he was the first author we ever read for this show.
Yeah, Phoenix Saga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Dark Phoenix Saga. But wait, we read the whole Phoenix Saga, right?
Yeah, I think part. So. I think we read Phoenix, Dark Phoenix, and Phoenix Rising or something like that. No, I think we did just read Dark Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, we read the part where
she
was in the Avengers and, like...
We read when she became Phoenix and died on the moon, the part where she was retconned as having been asleep underwater or something.
Oh, yeah.
And then the part where the Phoenix entity tried to latch onto Emma Frost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, so, like...
There's some weird, Phoenix- like... Later retcon.
When she becomes the Phoenix, and then the Dark Phoenix, there's like a bunch of issues between those.
Okay.
Where she's just Phoenixing around with the X-Men.
Phoenixing around.
But yeah, so like, I always wanted to read Excalibur, because Captain Britain seems like a cool character, but like, at first glance, it's like, oh, he's just the British version of Captain America, which isn't true at all. I think the British version of Captain America is Union Jack, who we get a little bit in this. He's the guy that looks like he's wearing a Captain Britain costume.
But yeah. Like
mad at Blade because he stole his girlfriend.
Basically. Yeah. He shows up for just like a little bit.
Yeah, and then he gets mad at Blade. That's basically what his role there is to be mad at Blade. It's your fault my girlfriend isn't my girlfriend anymore. That's what he sounds like to me. Except with a British accent. But yeah. Oh, and see, like, Alan Moore had a run on Captain Britain. So I would like to, like to go back and read that.
As long as Grant Morrison never had a run.
Well, that would be fucking weird if he did. And not weird that he had a run, but the comic would have been fucking weird, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
Aside about Grant Morrison, he's writing a series called Multiversity for DC right now, and only one issue has come out, and sure enough, it's fucking weird. Do you know who Captain Carrot is?
No.
So there's a DC group called Captain Carrot and the Zoo Crew, and Captain Carrot is basically Superman if he was a rabbit.
Were these characters created to teach kids not to do drugs?
I don't know where they're from, but, yeah.
Wow.
Anyways, back to MI-13.
I don't know why I took us to that tangent. I'm sorry.
Well, no, we brought up Grant Morrison, so, you know, I felt like I should mention multiversity.
So.
Sounds like a school.
So
get your degree online at multiversity.
We're getting some characters, though, too, aren't we? There's Muslim girl. Muslim
oh my god,
girl
Andy, she has a name.
She has a name. It's
Wisdom. Captain Britain.
Well, we have Spitfire's weird son.
Kenneth.
Yeah!
Oh, god, Kenneth.
Oh my god.
That was like the most unhealthy.
His costume is kind of the best costume.
He actually, I think he took up the mantle of the guy who originally turned Spitfire into a vampire. Right?
Yeah, Baron Blood. Well, he took Baron Blood's excellent costume. That's the best costume. He's like, it's like he went to like some costume store and he was like, I want a Batman costume. And they were like, well, we don't have a Batman costume, like TM, Batman TM, but we have Batman.
Did you guys ever watch The Tick back in the day?
Oh, yeah, Deflator Mouse.
Deflator Mouse, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's...
I feel like Kenneth's relationship with Spitfire is just about as weird as a mother-son relationship can get without getting Oedipal.
But what's funny about it is Spitfire is, like, totally creeped out by him. She's like, what are you even doing here, creeper boy?
I mean, I can kind of... All right. This is going to be a stretch, right? He became a vampire more or less unwillingly, and he misses, like, his mother is a vampire. There's no reason his mother can't be with them. And if they're talking about, like, a unified country for vampires, there's no reason his mother shouldn't go with them. Because that's a place that his mother could live and be comfortable as she exists and not have to worry about judgment of other people or getting harmed just because she's a vampire. Like, it's safer for her also on top of everything else. And like, he's probably also being controlled a little bit by Dracula's will, and Dracula's will is to unify everyone, so he's probably like getting extra clingy because of proximity to Dracula. But it is really, because you get the sense she's like, oh my god, I fucked up on this son.
Yeah. She's like, Blade, when you see him, just fucking kill him.
And then Union Jack was like, what the fuck are you doing? And then he's like, oh god, you guys are made for each other.
Yeah.
That was a weird moment when he's like, yeah, you can come hang out with us. And then
stab.
Yeah.
Stab, explode. Yeah, that was pretty funny. I don't know. This comic, when I finished reading it, so this is probably like the third or fourth time I've read this series. Well, I didn't read the whole series this time, but this comic just feels so British. Like, I mean, Paul Cornell, the guy who wrote it, he is a British person, and he's written like Doctor Who comics and stuff. But it just felt like this is like watching a British TV show or something. Like, it just felt like this is a British comic for British people. Well, not for British people, but I think that's cool because maybe it gives a realistic picture of what British people are like. I don't know what I'm saying.
They're powered by confidence?
Well, no, not that, but I feel like Pete Wisdom is just, like, very good representation of British people. I don't know.
Well,
now
I feel like
now I sound like a
no.
An
I
idiot.
Know what you mean.
I know what you mean.
Pete Wisdom channels Churchill a bit. He's like, I'm going to make the best of a bad situation. I'm going to outmaneuver my enemy, and I'm going to just keep doing this until either we die or we win. But I'm not going to give up.
He's tenacious. I think they're a good representation of how British people see themselves. Like, you're right. Like, Wisdom is the Churchill person, right? Like, the damn it all, we're Britain and we will succeed on wit and vigor. You know? Like, that's Wisdom. And Captain Britain is the the burly, cricket-playing, athletic, you know, guy who invented rugby kind of British person, right? Like, yeah. That's Captain Britain. And because his powers are tied into confidence. His powers are tied into how cocky he is. I mean, there's quite a bit of the way British sees themselves in that. And then I really do think Faiza... Urban Britain really, really prides itself on being tolerant of all of the people that they had previously conquered.
Well, she's
which is a fucked up way to phrase it, but I basically think that's what it is.
I think she represents like how the demographic of Britain is changing. You know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Asian people. You know.
What?
Asian people.
Where?
In England.
Really?
Well, see, so the thing is, in England, when they say Asian, they mean Indian.
Oh, yeah, I forget.
And, well, I guess Faiza's not Indian, but, you know, she's from, I think she's from Pakistan. Her family's Pakistani. She's from England. Like, she's, I think British. She was born in England. Yeah, she's British. Anyways, yeah. So I think that the cast is a pretty decent representation of what Britain's like, maybe?
Or at the very least, like, the British ideal.
Yeah, I think I think what you said is a good way to put it, Andy. Like, maybe the way they see themselves, or...
Because Captain America is not... Most Americans are not like Captain America. But that's the way they want to see themselves and their country represented. That's the ideal of America.
Maybe you're not. Just kidding. No.
I tried to think of a witty thing to say back, and I just could not. There's just nothing there.
You did a little recharge there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean... Well, I think we've kind of talked about the characters a bunch enough. So, Did you guys like the story? Did you enjoy reading it?
Yes, but I do feel like, you know, despite, like even given the fact that we came in mid-run and it was in media res, so we don't really know what's going on, I feel like there were parts that could have been explained better.
Yeah.
Like, it took me a while sometimes to figure out just what was going on where and who was doing what at what time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think my only real negative with this comic, because I really like the story and the characters and the art, was just that I spent more of it confused than I think I should have been.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, I think, I mean, it's not perfect, but I can see where you're coming from with that.
I will say I had the same problem, and this I said this earlier, so forgive me. I had the same problem until we got the Dracula launching mutated vampires like missiles from his underground. Like, once we got to that point, I was like, okay, there's stuff in here that references other things that I don't understand, and there's things that are going to be confusing. But honestly, I can just not care about the details anymore because it's that kind of comic. Like, what matters is the over-the-topness of Dracula versus the understated strength of Britain. And and really, if I get that, and I think, oh, that's stupid what he's doing right now, Dracula, you're so dumb. Hey, cool, Dr. Doom! Then once you take it down to that level and ignore the details, I had a great time reading it. I really, yeah. really did. Because it was just like, then you're just kind of along for the ride as Dracula's trying to outwit and outplay Pete Wisdom. Only to get the turn right at the very end of, oh, no, you were not invited. Ooh. You know? And it was that was neat. I didn't need to know. If I just go along for the ride like that, then I don't need to know who the hell that woman was who had the skull. Or who the hell the skull was of. I know they kind of explained a little bit, but whatever.
Like, I don't think we were supposed to know. I don't know if necessarily they explained that at another point, but I see what you're saying. I mean, we didn't know, and maybe it could have been explained more, but because Blade was like, oh, it's this guy that I knew who was old and he died, and he put his head in a box but made it a magic head kind of thing.
Yeah, pretty much. And but like, that's then all you need to know. You get that, you have a good time, you know what it, know what the skull does, cool. Oh, damn, he blew it up, oh, fuck. You know, like...
And then, oh, wait, no, he didn't.
No, shit. Yeah, that's fake.
I really like Doom's cameo, too.
Yes.
And I liked his final line in the comic, where he was just like, heh.
I love when he pours the glass of wine. He's like, yeah. Let's watch what happens.
I love Doom.
Yeah, he's great. He's like, that's what you get for talking shit. I mean, that's basically what I think went through Doom's head, is they had a little conversation by Neil Armstrong's footprint.
Yeah.
And Dracula was kind of talking shit, and Doom was like, okay. You go do your thing, Dracula. We'll see what happens, buddy.
That's what you get for raising your voice to me.
Yeah, because Doom, like, Doom's awesome. He's one of the, I mean, I'd say he probably is the greatest comic supervillain. He's pretty amazing. Fantastic, even.
No, I'd be down for that. I love Doom, because he can be so over the top so often. But then there's moments like this where he just, like, orchestrates the one perfect little move that just makes him, like, oh, you, I like you.
Well, like, if you think about it, like, if someone was like, who's Dr. Doom? The way I would describe him is he's a super science magician who rules his own Eastern European country.
And that's fucking awesome.
That's exactly what he is. He's a super scientist magician.
That guy belongs in the comic where people launch mutated vampires like missiles from the underground moon bases.
Yep. He sure does. And he only had a cameo in this.
Yep.
Okay.
I don't know, what did you guys think of the art here?
I think the art's really good. I think it's fun art. I mean, he really captured the artists really captured the, you know, what if somebody, like, told me to imagine what mutated vampire space missiles would look like, this is what I would see.
I gotta imagine if I'm an artist and I read the commentary for what you're supposed to draw on that splash page, I would just giggle in pure glee. Like a fucking schoolgirl. I gotta imagine that, like, that kind of page is why people get into comic art.
We actually, like, have two different artists here.
Oh, do we?
Well, yeah, because so there's two. Most of the issues we read are written by Leonard Kirk, or drawn by Leonard Kirk, but then 13 and 14 are drawn by somebody else.
Okay.
What's his name? Something Saif. Adrian Saif. Saif?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it. But yeah, it was a different guy. I'm assuming this Adrian is a guy. I guess Adrian could be a woman's name, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the art's... I like the art in this. I mean, it's pretty cool. It's not, like, particularly stylistic, you know. But it does a good job of conveying what it needs to.
Yeah, I think they capture the action really well, especially. It's just really clear in the fights who is doing what. And, yeah. Like, who is being hit or injured or killed. And I really appreciate that because I think that's probably some of the hardest stuff to draw or even just plan in comics. Like, making a clear fight scene. And all of these, you could always tell what was happening. So, major props for that.
I think the only complaint I have with the art is that there's times... And I think this more has to do with character design than the actual art itself. But there's parts where they're, like, the British intelligence guys are all in their, like, conference room. They all, the dudes in suits kind of all look the same. And so sometimes it was hard to figure out who was talking. I mean, Pete Wisdom's pretty clear because he's got his sunglasses on all the time. But there's some other dudes, like, when Union Jack first appears, he's just a guy in a suit. Like, it's not his Union Jack costume, so it's not clear that that's who is there.
So, Okay, I'm going to transition this into what was your favorite panel or favorite moment. Mine was, because you brought up Pete Wisdom's sunglasses, and there was this panel where Pete Wisdom realizes that a war is about to start and that shit's going down, and he's talking to somebody else, and like his face is facing towards the left, and the text bubble is coming out on the left, and if you don't notice, behind him he has his hand up, and somebody's putting his sunglasses in his hand, and then the next panel he puts them on, and then he doesn't take them off again until the war is over. I noticed that when I was reading this, I was like, maybe that's why I like him so much, because he's like, all right, this going down, this is what's you're gonna do this, huh? I'm putting on the sunglasses.
He has a sunglass squire.
But that's just a little detail, and it like carries through, and he doesn't take the sunglasses off until he's with the woman at the end. It's like, that's awesome, I want to do that too, but I like seeing things at night and inside.
That is amazing. I didn't even notice that, but I think that has become my favorite thing about this entire comic.
I just love it. He doesn't even, I don't even remember if he asks for them. I think somebody else in the room just realizes that shit is on and that Pete Wisdom is going to need his fucking sunglasses.
They're like, oh, Pete's going to need his glasses. Somebody go get him.
Yeah, like what you said, he probably has a glasses squire.
It's his intern. His intern has his glasses.
I love it. It's a stupid little thing to love so much. I think that was one of my favorite notices in this comic.
Details like that make a difference, right? I mean, comics are fun, and so it's fun when there's cool little moments like that where it's like, look at how cool this guy is.
Yeah, dude, and especially this comic, I feel like this is one of those comics that rewards you if you've been reading, and rewards you if you know about Blade and Excalibur and Spitfire, and if you know these people from other stuff, then great, you're going to get a lot more out of this comic. But if you don't know about that stuff, and you can just kind of power through those details and just enjoy it, it's a good ride. And you're right, it's just fun. And there's lots of little bits in it, all the way like the big stuff from the moon base and the mutant vampire missiles, to the little stuff like fucking Pete Wisdom and his sunglasses, you know? And it's fun's the perfect word. This is just a really fun comic to read.
Indeed. So my favorite panel is actually a splash page. Ooh. It's in issue 15, and it's where Faiza explodes Dracula with Excalibur.
Yeah.
That is also my favorite.
And the sound effect on there is FLAM! With three exclamation marks and like four M's. Oh no, there's only three M's. But like Dracula's like, oh, what are you gonna do? And then she stabs him and he explodes.
I'm gonna fucking murder you, that's what I'm gonna do.
And I also like the part where Captain Britain and Faiza's dad are like flying back to Earth and he's like, I could murder a cup of tea.
Yeah.
I think that's the most British moment in the whole comic.
That, and when the old woman comes to the door and they're all standing there and she's like, how much sugar?
Yeah.
Do you all take sugar?
She's like using her magic powers to sense that they're going to want tea.
Yeah. That is British. So we didn't talk about the annual at all. Where they're playing cricket and Glorion is coming out of hell. It's kind of a nice tie-in to know how Gloriana gets there.
Yeah.
Like, because in the comics, she's kind of like, poof, out of nowhere. Gloriana. But this kind of explains to you how she gets there and shows you even more that Doom is pretty cool. I don't know what the hell the whole cricket thing was. I didn't really care.
I think it was just like a backdrop.
Yeah, just like they're talking, we're going to resolve our feelings in case you've cared, but I didn't.
Well, it's mostly, it's just Brian, or Captain Britain's, like, feelings mostly.
Yeah.
It's just a comic about feels. But no, I like what you said about Doom there, Andy. I like Dr. Doom because He's almost a mustache twirly villain, but he doesn't really cross that line. Because he's like this dude who's super powerful, and he hates Reed Richards, and he has these machinations. But he's like, I mean, he's evil in that we don't want him to do the things he does, but he's not like genocidal or anything like that. You know, he just kind of does his doom thing, and he's like a badass. But then when things like Megan appears out of hell, he like pulls her out of hell and then reunites her with her husband. It's like, he didn't need to do that at all. He probably could have done something else to fuck with Dracula.
Yeah, but I like, Doom does what Doom wants because Doom wants it.
Yeah, but see, like, Doom does cool things. Like, yeah. There should be a Good Guy Doom meme or something, you know?
Good Guy Doom reuniting Captain Britain with his long-lost girlfriend.
Or, like, how he helps deliver Valeria Richards.
Oh, yeah.
And becomes her godfather. And then, like, in the comics right now, Valeria's, like, mad at her dad. So she's living with Doom. And, you know, she's living with Uncle Doom, basically. And it's like, she's there, and Doom could be all evil and be like, I've got your daughter now, Richards, and twirl his mustache. But he doesn't, because he is a cool guy, and he understands that Valeria isn't part of his feud with Richards. Like, she is her own person, and so he genuinely takes care of her. And, like, there's a part in a recent issue of New Avengers where Reed wants to go visit her, and Doom is like, okay, you can. He's like cool about it, and Doom's son Christoph von Doom,
yeah,
like welcomes Sue and Reed, and he's like, welcome to our castle. It's nice to see you guys again. And Doom was like, says something like, Doom would not prevent a father from visiting his daughter or something like that. You know, he delivers it in a very Doom-like way, but basically yeah. he's like, okay, you're here to visit your daughter. We're not gonna fight or anything.
Yeah.
And so I think Dr. Doom is like an awesome character, and even though he mostly just has cameos in this, we get to see Good Guy Doom.
You know, we gotta do a Doom arc.
Yeah. Yes,
we do. I think we do.
We do. Yeah. Maybe after the 200th episode. Although I don't know if we'll all three be around for that, because I think one of us might die.
Well, from what I understand about issue 200 is everything's gonna change.
Yeah, that
nothing
is true.
Will be the same.
It's gonna be some kind of crisis, a crossover event.
Crisis on Infinite Podcasts.
Yeah. Ooh, maybe I can get this to cross over another podcast. I'm gonna try that now. Talk to my friend John.
Yeah, that's the first person that came to mind. Is like, oh, we can get Pingle to cross over with us.
let's rate this.
Yeah.
Okay. Jen, you go first. I haven't heard your voice in a while.
3.5. I actually, like, the more I think about it and the more I talk about it and the more I enjoyed this comic, I thought the characters were delightful. I wish that there had been more development for, like, you know, the Ebon, or Black Knight? Ebon Knight? Whatever.
Black
See,
Knight.
I don't even
it's
know his freaking name.
The sword is called the Ebon Blade.
Okay.
But yeah, he's Black Knight.
See, he could have used a bit more focus, because I walked out not knowing who he was. Faiza, I think, could have... I don't know, like, it's just hard to say because we came in the middle of the run. It's not like they're just being introduced to us, but I was intrigued, so that's a good thing. And also, Pete Wisdom was just... he was awesome. The art was great. I just wish that I had been a little less confused by the storytelling, because I don't even think that was an issue of coming in the middle of events. That was more like, sometimes it was hard for me to pinpoint when things were happening in Dracula's plan, stuff like that. But 3.5, I liked it.
All right.
You know, Jen, I thought you would give it a lower score than that, but I'm pleasantly happy that you enjoyed it. I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
It was fun. It was a really fun comic.
Good stuff. David?
So I'm also going to give it a 3.5. This is a comic that, you know, I started reading comics again back around the time Secret Invasion started, and so I think I must have been picking up all the Secret Invasion stuff, because that's the kind of thing I used to do, is pick up everything involved in the crossover. And this is one of those books where I liked it when they crossed over, and then I wanted to keep reading it, and then I was sad when it ended, because I was like, man, this... I just really like the characters. It's a fun comic, just like Jen said. And so, I wish it hadn't ended. But, you know, it's not a perfect comic. It's just, like, it's a great... I think, kind of like the Blade comic was last week, it's a great representation of what comics, how comics can be fun, you know? So, you know, it's not groundbreaking or anything in its... it's not trying to say something about society or have some deep message, but it is a really enjoyable comic, and it's a lot of fun to read, so I'm going to give it a 3.5.
David, I think you and I are coming from almost the exact same place when we're reading this comic, because I was going to say, I know, objectively speaking, that Why the Last Man is a better comic than this. I know it's true, but I gave Why the Last Man a 3.5, and I kind of want to give Captain Britain a 3.5 as well, because... You know, when I think about what got me into comics, what made me a comic book reader, it wasn't Why the Last Man. It wasn't V for Vendetta. It sure as fuck wasn't Watchmen. It was crap like this. Because when you're fucking 13 and you're picking up comic books, you know it looks fucking sick. Mutated vampires getting launched like missiles from an underground moon base. I'm sorry, I keep going back to that two-pager.
You should have just dropped the mic right there.
Because that is fucking comics. That is fuck yeah comics. To fuck like that yes. Right? And that feeling when you turn the page and you go, is that what's on the page right now? Did you seriously just draw that, bro? Like, you get that so less and little these days. Everything's green, real, and all this other crap, but it's like, I miss this stuff. I miss this. Are you fucking kidding me with this? You're going to do this. You're going to have, like, a Bane ride a T-Rex. All right, shit, yeah, let's do this. I'm fucking down. Let's go. Like, it happens less, and I miss it. I miss fuck yeah comics because comics. And that's what this is. This just feels like so much fuck yeah. So 3.5, because it's, like, empowering and shit. I love it. 3.5 all around. All right.
Awesome.
So we got one more episode left in our Dracula vs. Blade and Friends series, and that's next week. That's next week with X-Men, Curse of the Mutants by Victor Gishler, collects issues 1-6 of the X-Men run from 2010, along with X-Men Curse of the Mutants Saga and X-Men Curse of the Mutants Spotlight. I don't know, it's kind of like an amalgamation of little bits and pieces from other things, plus the original run. It's a little bit confusing. If you want to know exactly what we're reading, go to our website, www.apsupercast.com. On the right, there's a button that says Future Shows. Click on that. There'll be a little picture of the trade we're reading next week, and underneath it'll say Amazon. Click on that. It'll take you directly to Amazon, the link of what we're going to be reading exactly, more or less, depending on how we read it. If you have a suggestion for what we should read after that, maybe what we should read for our 200th episode, or our 201st or 2nd, depending on if we're still around and if all of us are still alive. You can send us a recommendation by giving us an email at
AtomicPoweredSupercast@gmail.com.
Or you can do it on all the social media stuff, Facebook.com/APSupercast, Twitter.com/APSupercast, and APSupercast.tumblr.com. And as always, please subscribe to us on
iTunes.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Until next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.